Blog Talk Radio.
From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska. This is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dogworks Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dogworks Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Sibe Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood Sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting live from Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. A little bit of a rainy morning here in Alaska. And on the line, we have the host of the Side Vibe, Dorothy Wills Raftery, calling in from New York. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. You're having rainy weather, and we're having a beautiful New York autumn day here. It's nice and crisp and sunny, and it's a beautiful day. Unfortunately, I have a couple sick sibes here. I've been kind of keeping up on that on Facebook. They kind of had a little run-in with a possum, and about 12 hours later, I had one come down, not feeling good, and now the second one today. So if I zip off the line for a couple minutes, I'll be back. I'm just checking on them, because I've got them all out here.
That sounds fine. So what is now, on tap today on the Side Vibe?
Well, before we introduce our guest, who is pet portrait artist Cameo Anderson, and also she's a Siberian Husky parent. A lot of people know her work. She has fantastic work. I'm very excited about talking to her. I had a couple things on deck I wanted to mention, but before I got into my two announcements, I wanted to ask you, Robert, so how's the book coming?
Well, I believe the book will be released this week. We hope to have it in our hot little hands sometime this week, and we're looking forward to our first book signing here in Alaska mid-month, towards the later part of October, so I'm looking forward to it.
Now, it's called Team Aneke, A Musher's Dream, and it's based on the real-life story of how you formed Team Aneke. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's a children's book geared towards what? First, second graders, you think?
You know, when I released Gibson's book, I thought the same thing, and I actually didn't put a grade on it because while it is geared for the younger, I find that all audiences actually enjoy it, right up to adult, you know, the Siberian Husky and sled dog fan as well. So I think it really does have an open market, and the illustrations are done by illustrator Barbara Slocum of New York, and they're adorable, and I think any sled dog or Iditarod or Husky fan would probably actually really love that book, and if the children are younger, then the parents would have a good time, I think, reading it to them as well. Now, you're actually one of our lucky listeners are going to be able to get one of the first copies of Team Aneke signed by both you and Michelle. Is that correct?
That is correct. How can they do that?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that maybe they should go on over to your guys' page, the Five Sibes News and Reviews page, and tell us about their Siberian Husky and why they think that they would like to read our book.
You know, that sounds like a great idea. So for all our listeners and for our readers of both of our pages, like Robert said, if you head over to my Five Sibes Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews, that's a community page on Facebook, and, you know, leave the information there, and then Robert will be peeking in, and then a winner will be chosen, and we'll announce it on all of our pages, right?
That sounds excellent. Looking forward to it.
Okay, and they'll be lucky because it's going to be the first book that actually, one of the first books to go out. That's great. Congratulations to you guys, too. It's really an awesome little book. You know, it's so cute, and I think it's great. And I think it's wonderful, too, because it's really a nice tribute to Aneke, your husky who actually started the whole thing. So I think it's wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for all of your help as well. We couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And for today's show, I want to welcome everybody to the October episode of Cyb Vibe. And before we get into talking with Cameo, I just wanted to mention that there are two benefit auctions that are currently going on in the Facebook community to help raise funds for Huskies in Need. One is happening right now, and that's for Buddy the Christmas Husky. Some of our listeners, and I know a lot of the Facebook followers, are very familiar with Buddy's story. And we also had Buddy on our show back in Buddy's mom, Mama Shay, back on December. And you can check out the really cool items ranging, there are Husky items there, jewelry, there's autographed copy of my What's Wrong with Gibson Learning About Canine Epilepsy book and an awareness bracelet. So that auction is going to run until October 16th, and you can check it out by visiting Buddy the Christmas Husky's Facebook page, and you can search by name, or you can go to https://www.facebook.com/Buddy the Husky. Or you can even check over on the Five Cybs page, and we also have it listed there in our timeline as well. Then the Northern Light Sled Dog Rescue, who will be our guest in February, they cover the Great Lakes regions of Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, and Kentucky, and they're kicking off their auction today. And you can check that out over on their Facebook page, which would be https://www.facebook.com/NLSDR, and that's for Northern Light Sled Dog Rescue. You can also, look for them by name. I'll also have a link over on my page as well, but there's some really awesome items there to help raise funds for their rescue huskies, including a hand sign and number print of our guest Cameo Anderson's Born to Run portrait that was commissioned and donated to Northern Lights for this unique fundraising event. There's only three of these signed prints that exist, and the bidding will be for one of three. We'll chat a little bit with Cameo about that later in the show. You can also bid on one of my What's Wrong with Gibson Learning About Canine Epilepsy books and awareness bracelets there as well, and I'll be happy to personalize that for the winning bidder. And also up for bid there, I'm really thrilled to announce on behalf of Arctic House Publishing that, Robert, you're going to have one of your illustrated children's books, The Team Ineke, A Musher's Dream, also up for bid as well. And you're going to be autographing that with Michelle, and you're also including a photo of your Team Ineke. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
All right. So be sure to check out both of those, Buddy the Christmas Husky and Northern Light Sled Dog Rescue's Facebook page for these two great auctions that are really to help huskies in need. Today's guest, Cameo Anderson, has been drawing, she says, ever since she learned to hold up a pencil. But she says she's only recently become good at it. She says, and I quote, "It wasn't because of art school or any special gift or talent. It's because I busted my butt in the last 3 years and put serious effort into my art." An avid illustrator, including three novel covers and a character design artist, she only recently segued into the world of pet portraits. And as many of her fans who are lovers of not only huskies, but all breeds and cats as well, are quite familiar and in love with her work. It's really beautiful. I have two amazing portraits she created for me. There's one of the Five Cybs, which you can view on my Facebook page. It's been my profile picture. Every now and then I pop that up there because it's just great. And we have it enlarged and put up here on our wall. And there's also one she did of our cats, Binks, and her angel, Smokey. And it's really, really great picture. We love it. And it's a nice memorial to Smokey as well. Listeners can also check out all her fabulous pet portraits in her portfolio on her Cameo Anderson writer-illustrator Facebook page. And that you can find at https://www.facebook.com/SporePalace, and that's SporePalace, and also on her website at getbettergraphics.com. Cameo, who is also a parent to two Siberian huskies of her own, Mischief and Gandalf, she credits all of her pet painting success to a little husky named Hero. For those of you who are not familiar with Hero's story, he was the little abandoned husky pup Allie's rescued Siberian angels of they're out in California, had taken him in because he had seizures, and he underwent surgery for fluid on the brain. During the campaign for Hero to get well, and as part of a fundraising campaign to help Allie's rescue pay for the surgery, Cameo donated her time to create a We All Need a Heroes poster featuring a cartoon image of Hero, which was then sold with the proceeds benefiting Hero's care. And I actually have one, and it's adorable, and it's actually the first how I first met Cameo. While Hero did ultimately sadly not make it, the outpouring of love and support from the public was amazing. And to hear Hero's story, you can listen to our episode of The Sci-Vibe featuring Allie of Allie's Rescued Siberian Angels. Cameo says of it that Hero is proof that an act of kindness, a good deed, can richly be rewarded. Hero the Husky Pup was her first pet portrait, and the posters raised somewhere around $2,500 for this little puppy's care. From there, other animals lovers saw her amazing work, and the rest, as they say, is history. Cameo says creating the custom pet portraits is now her primary source of income, and she also continues to donate paintings to auctions regularly to help the homeless huskies, such as the one over at the Northern Lights Sled Dog Rescue. And, it's great because then they raise funds to help these huskies in need. Cameo says she loves animals, and her new trade has allowed her to help in a much larger way than she ever could have afforded to do before. And she says she owes her success to those rescue critters. Welcome to the Sci-Vibe, Cameo. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you, and I'm doing awesome. It's a really, really nice day here.
It's great to have you on. I kind of feel like I've known you forever in a way, you know, thanks to the social networking and your artwork. So it's really nice to get a chance to talk to you. I know there's quite a few people out there that are looking forward to the show as well. Now, Cameo, where are you calling in from?
A nice friend of mine let me borrow her landline phone, and I am in Adrian, Michigan.
All right. So we got Robert in Alaska. I'm here in the Hudson Valley, New York, and Cameo's in Michigan. This is where I love technology. Cameo is your pen name. Why use a pen name when you do such beautiful artwork?
Well, because when I was little and first learning to use the Internet, my mom told me, don't ever put your real name on the Internet. Just don't do it. So I came up with a cool alias that people couldn't even tell for sure which gender I was. And I put that out there, and every time I did a little doodle and showed it on the Internet, it always was signed Cameo Anderson. And it just expanded from there. That just became who I was online.
Well, that's a great advice from your mom, it's really, you know, I always like to hear, you know, a lot of people, even in the writing field, use aliases, so it's really nice to kind of know it, but it's also great to hear the voice behind the name. So since you were a young girl, you said you always loved art. What made you decide to become an artist?
Well, I used to actually tell people, because I wanted to do anything else. I wanted to be a computer programmer or write books or run a business, and I had a couple other things I wanted to do as a kid, too. And I said, I'm not going to be an artist because I don't want to be a starving artist, and that's what everybody says about artists. And then, lo and behold, it happened anyway because my sister decided to move to Chicago to study animation, and I followed her. I just thought it sounded like fun, and it really is more fun than programming computers.
Now, do you do some work with your sister as well, I know, right?
Yes.
So
we have several little projects going.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, were there any artists that you admired and maybe inspired your work along the way?
Well, I don't have specific people who I wanted to imitate, but the one artist that I remember looking at the most was the Hawaiian guy who painted all the orcas in space. Christian Lassen, his work. I'm not sure if I've got his name right, but he was I had his calendars and his paintings and prints and all kinds of stuff when I was growing up. His stuff is just so cool. And then there was also Robert Bissell, who is a fine artist and has his stuff on exhibition, and he paints bears and rabbits and other type of woodsy wildlife, but he has a little fantasy element to each one and a little story to go with it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, what many folks may not know, which makes the work you do even more incredible, is that you have an eye condition since birth. You've told me you had 9 cornea transplants on your right eye, and none of them actually worked, and that has remained cloudy and not particularly usable. You've also had a successful cornea transplant on your left eye when you were 4, and that's when you said that enabled you to see the world as you had never seen it before, and that, you know, pretty much you were blind till that point. Can you tell us how this impacted you as an artist, if at all, and did gaining your sight at age 4, which is when you started to draw, inspire you to capture the things around you that maybe you couldn't see before?
Well, I wish I could remember a little bit more from back then, but I do remember that I remember my first drawing that I could see really well was on a yellow piece of paper, and it was a simple little doodle of a sailboat. And that was, I'd have to ask my mom what my art looked like before, because I don't remember, and I probably couldn't see it, but I guess I had a good time doing it, because mom tells me as soon as I could pick up a pencil, I started using it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so, and it hasn't impacted you really at all,
well,
as an artist, has it?
Yes and no. It makes it more fun for me to work in a visual field, because then I feel like I can prove that I don't have the limitations that people will assume that I do. So in a way, yeah, it makes me want to work harder at it.
Great. Now, you work in the digital art media. How did you first become interested in this type of art, and how would you actually describe this style?
Well, I learned to use a computer way back when the Internet was first born, and we were using black and white computers with dial-up 14-4 modems, and then as I got more into computers, I learned to fix them. And so as a computer nerd growing up and an artist, I thought it was just natural to combine my nerdy nature with my artistic nature, and that is why as soon as I found out I could get a Wacom tablet, I jumped right on that.
Now, for those who may not know what a Wacom tablet is, can you just explain a little bit what that is?
Well, it's like a digital drawing surface. You would draw with a pen much the same way you would if you had a sketchbook out. It's the same process, only then what you draw on this tablet shows up on your screen in, say, Adobe Photoshop, which is the program I like. And from there, you can choose the shape of your brush and the color you're using and the style of the stroke and all kinds of little fancy options to give yourself a fine art studio right on your computer, but with no mess.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, you first started creating husky art and pet portraits with Hero the Husky Pup. That's right, if I remember correctly?
That's the first one, yep. And then people saw that and asked, well, hey, you know, you did a good job on that poster. Could you paint my pet? How much would that cost? And I thought, this might be cool.
Now, you did a couple versions of Hero, if I remember right, too. You did the poster one where he, you know, of course, he's a hero with the cape. And then there was a little cartoon version of him also.
Yes, and the hero is a mascot for an elementary school in New Jersey now, who's a husky. They're the husky heroes, so it would just fit.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the process of how, without seeing Hero, you were able to create his likeness?
Well, Allie's didn't have any high-res photos for me, so I had to work with the little ones that I found online on their Facebook page. And that's partially why the poster looks a little more cartoony, because I didn't see the real details. But I also Googled other huskies puppies that look similar for anatomy help. And that really works out to fill the gaps if I get pictures that aren't adequate and I have to paint an animal. I can look up other breeds, other examples of the breed, and fill in some details that way.
Now, and speaking of the hero poster, if people are still interested in the hero poster, can they still get one? And, you know, how would they go about doing it? And it still benefits Allie's, is that correct?
Well, I think part of the charm of that promotion was that they were going to limit the number. However, I'm sure if someone contacted Allie's, they would be willing to allow it. And if they say okay, then I will happily get out my PSD file and I will make more sign a number, more prints for them. And yes, it would still benefit Allie's.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, over the years, actually, it's probably been about a year and a half, maybe, I think, since Hero. Your style has changed from Hero, the pup's poster, to the current pet portraits that you do. As we said, Hero is more of a cartoon-style character, and the custom pet portraits you do now, I mean, they're so realistic, and they're beautiful. And how would you describe, you know, both of these styles?
Well, cartoonish has always been my favorite, and it still is. But as I got better and I realized, well, I can throw in some more detail, and it almost looks real. And then people just started to really latch on to the realistic over the cartoony. And it, pretty much whenever I paint a picture, if I go too cartoony with it, they'll almost inevitably say, hey, can you make that look more realistic? So it's a result of getting better, really. But if I had my way, I would paint the cartoonies more often, the caricatures, but incorporate some of the more realistic elements into that.
And also, if people wanted to have, say, two versions, they wanted the realistic ones, like the one that you painted, of course, with the five sides and our cats. If we, say, wanted a cartoony version of them, that's something that we could also ask to have done?
Yep, very, very welcome to, and I encourage it, please.
And how do you research? I know you said, you know, if you're going to draw the pet, you go on, you kind of look for, you know, the different kind of breeds. And I just want everybody to know, it's not, you know, she does beautiful huskies, but you also do all breeds, and you also do cats and different animals. So if anyone has a pet, they can contact you to see if they can have a portrait done. I know with mine, I sent you a collection of photos via email. And as you said, the higher resolution that the photos are, or the higher quality that the photos are, makes it better for you to use. So for folks that they, you know, can't send a high resolution JPEG from their camera or computer, if they scan it and scan it at a high resolution, that would also work, right?
Yes. And I've had to work with people's Facebook photos where they are scaled down. If I have to, I can do it, but it's a lot harder and takes a lot more hours for me to figure out what's going on in the picture. So it's, but I can do it. It's not a no-go.
Now, speaking of how long it takes for you, how long does it take for you to study the subjects? And, you know, I mean, I feel like the personality came out in my sides in those portraits. And, you know, so for you to, you know, review the photos and actually get a feel for the personality that you bring that spirit alive in the work, I mean, how... You know, how long? I mean, I just find it fascinating, you know, because we get the end product and we know our animals, and then, you know, so to see that life come, you know, through, it's pretty exciting on this end. So I know there's people who probably would love to kind of know, like, how do you do it?
Well, there's a couple of things that help. Good pictures, for one, are one of the biggest ways to make sure your painting turns out to look exactly how your dog looks to you. But also, when I have a commission done, I usually request that you send a little personality blurb about your pet with it, so I get more of an idea of who I'm painting, not just what. And if I need to, like, certain breeds are a lot harder to do for me, like anything that's got curly hair with poodles. There's just no shortcuts to that. You have to paint every individual curl. So those things take longer. Huskies, if it's a small, like the little small size that I offer, I can get one done in an hour, but posters can take up to 20. Mm-hmm. So it's a real variety depending on, and brindle pets are very hard to paint.
Are they? And what makes them more difficult than the pattern?
Yes, they're so, it's like a torty cat. There's just little smears of chocolate and peanut butter all over, and it's, you know that their owner knows exactly where each of those little spots are. But for me, that's a monolithic task. And like people with Dalmatians, they know where all the spots are on their dog, but I don't. So those are challenges.
Now, I, of course, you know, have five, and I know you've done multiple pets in your portraits. Excuse me. So now, of course, the number of pets, I would imagine, you know, would take longer?
Sometimes. If it's a big poster with, say, one dog, then I have to paint a lot more detail than I would if you had the same size poster with four dogs, but then I have four dogs to paint. So it kind of evens out, actually.
Yeah,
unless someone has a specific poses they want done, then it gets more challenging.
Do you get that request frequent? Do they tend
sometimes
to want to? Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a couple on there with huskies that are in packs in front of the northern lights, and those are more challenging, especially if, say, I don't get the proportions right from one dog to the next where it looks right to me, but the owner can see, well, one dog is too short or doesn't look like she weighs enough. So there's some interesting challenges there.
Now, how do you decide which style to create when you get a request? Like, as soon as you get the pictures, do you start, like, getting the ideas? And I know sometimes, you know, the pet parent has ideas too, but, you know, I'm curious to how you, like, that initial phase starts.
Well, I like to doodle some ideas ahead of time, and sometimes I'll cut out the pictures that they send me and arrange them on the pages myself and just see what they look like and plan things out that way and come up with some ideas for myself. If I get the opportunity to choose, that's how I will do it.
Now, for our listeners who may just be tuning in, we are talking with digital pet portrait artist and illustrator Cameo Anderson, and you can check out her amazing works of art on her Facebook page, which is Cameo Anderson Writer Illustrator. Everybody knows the beginning, how to get in there. So it's facebook.com/SporePalace, that's SporePalace, and also on her website at getbettergraphics.com. So Cameo, since it is digital art and the file is emailed to the client, how large can a person have it reproduced? And, you know, is there specific sizes or?
I recently changed it so that there would be three different sizes to pick from, because everyone was paying the same price for a Husky painting, whether they wanted it for an 8x10 or whether they wanted a big canvas. But the amount of work for me is drastically different, and I thought maybe if I charged less for a small portrait and more for a big poster, that it would be more fair to the clients and to me, and it would make allow more dog parents to actually be able to afford some fine art for their house. And one of my favorite teachers in school, one of his motivations during his lifetime was to do the same thing and allow access to the average person to have fine art, make inexpensive small pieces. And I thought that was a neat example for me to follow, and that's one of the reasons I chose to offer the small sizes too.
Oh, that is really great. Now, what are the sizes?
I have one the smallest one is the 8x10 size, which if you wanted greeting cards, that would be the size you would pick too. Then the second one up is the 16x20, and after that is the poster size, which is 24x36, I think. You could probably print it bigger too, depending on where you go. So you can get it on blankets, so I hear, from Walmart.
Oh, that's great. So the resolution of these files that they're getting back are high. I mean, I can vouch for it. I know with mine. But they're a high resolution, so they can do these type of things, which is wonderful.
Yep.
Now, speaking of, you said you can do them on greeting cards. What other kinds of medium can it be reproduced on? I mean, can it be done on canvas or paper stock? And I know you said blankets.
Yeah, pretty much whatever you want to print on these days. The sky's the limit. You can get them on cups. And somebody is researching the idea of having their painting put on a mud flap for their car.
Oh.
And I thought that would be kind of cool. And a wheel well cover.
Oh, yeah. And they also do those, the wraps they do now, too, for vehicles and things.
Yeah, exactly. You could put your Huskies on your van if you wanted, or your truck.
That's actually a great idea.
That would be cool.
I think so. It might have to be a Christmas present. I might have to hint to my husband about that one. Now, do you have any personal recommendations on what you think that your work will look best on?
Well, the rolled canvas is the current favorite. Everybody seems to like that. The painting I did for the Northern Sled Dogs is on rolled canvas. And some of the small prints I've done has been on that, and it makes it give it that extra fine art look, whereas the digital painting, when it's on shiny paper, it doesn't have the same texture like a real painting would. But to fix that problem, you can put it on a canvas, and it works great.
That's good. Now, you get lots of requests for pet portraits, and I know many Siberian Huskies and Northern Breed dogs, and over on your Facebook page, you show your method step by step. Can you take some time and just kind of talk to us about how you create the style and go through those steps so that you get this almost near-perfect likeness?
No problem. The first thing I do is get all the pictures out, open them all in Photoshop, and look at them and decide which ones I like best for references. And then, like I said, sometimes I'll arrange them on the canvas and see what I like that way, too, for color and lighting. And then once I've decided, I sketch the designs out. And I can measure it if I need to, you know, 30 pixels wide for this dog's nose, and the ears are twice as high on this dog as they are on the other one, little tricks like that to help me get it right. And Photoshop has a nice tool. For getting the colors right, it's a little eyedropper that lets me pick colors right off of the pet's image and paint using those colors. And that's one of the most important parts of it, of getting the photorealistic look, is to get the correct colors for the dog.
That's correct. And you're right about the size, because like Gibson is a woolly husky, so he is larger and fluffier than my other four. And he just comes across beautiful in the portrait. So it's just great.
Woolly Huskies are some of my favorites, I'll be honest. I do have favorites. I didn't know there were such things when I got my two, but now that I know, they're just awesome. And if I could have a third, it'd be a woolly one.
I have to tell you, I mean, I love all my guys, but the woolly, they definitely have such a laid-back personality. I mean, we always joke and say Gibson could have been a 60s child because he's just so laid-back, so easygoing, just a really, really lovable boy. So, I mean, I love them all, but, you know, he's a special guy, and he happens to be a Wooly.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Thank you. You know, he likes that. He likes hearing he's pretty. He always knows it, like after he gets a portrait or something done, you know, and then there's, or he's, you know, recently he was a cover dog on American Pet Magazine because I did an article for National Epilepsy Awareness Month. And as most people know, but if for listeners who don't, he is a canine epileptic, also known as an epi dog. You know, of course, then there's fuss about it. And you can see it in him. He gets like, yeah, okay, give me my Ray-Bans. You want my autograph, you know. And he kind of gets a little prance in his step. And same thing happened after the portrait. It was funny. So how do you choose the backgrounds? Because I know there's a variety of backgrounds. And, again, if people go over to your Facebook page, you know, you have a lot of them in there. You know, it ranges from you have some pulling sleds and running in the snow and some are in the field. And, you know, there was one recent one that you just posted where you have one howling at the moon with two smaller ones in front of it. And what inspires you to develop the background for the dogs? And, again, it goes across the breeds because there's some where there are, like, you know, different breeds with the grassy meadow behind them.
Well, a lot of times the commissioner, if it's a special background, has asked for that. I'd love to have my dogs. I did the first one was a memorial within the Northern Lights, and it had a ghostly husky spirit head in the background and then another two on the ground. And when I did that one, everyone else saw it and they started asking for more Northern Lights pictures. And I thought, well, these Northern Lights are fun to paint. They make really beautiful backgrounds, so I'm happy that people are pushing me to the next limit to learn background painting skills as well as painting the dogs. So I run into a lot of challenges there, but it's fun, and I like to get work that points me in a new direction and teaches me something at the same time.
Oh, that's great. I do love the Northern Lights one, I have to tell you. I think they're beautiful, you know, so it really is nice. And especially when you have the sled dogs, you know, based against, you know, the Northern Lights and snow in the foreground. It's just, it really captures that essence of, I think, who these dogs are. Now,
yep, it has their wild spirit.
Yes. They have that, as any husky parent can attribute to.
Yep.
Now, you create many husky and northern breed portraits. What is it about these dogs that you love to capture in art, other than, like you said, the spirit of them?
That is the number one thing. They have something in their eyes that other breeds of dogs, I don't see as much. The snow dogs of all kinds. I have Malamutes and some Elkhounds also. And they just have that wolf look, just the way they want to be one with nature and run and be free, and they're not tamed like your golden retrievers are. And it's just something about that I really like. And they're fluffy.
And they're fluffy. It's so true, though, because I, as you're saying, I'm thinking about my Harley. She always has that wide look that's like, you know, let's run, you know, where, you know, it's, I think that's exactly it, that they have that let's run message, which is so true to them. So now, Cameo, your love of huskies really starts closer to home. You have two Siberians of your own, Mischief and Gandalf. And can you talk to us about them?
Sure. Gandalf is the one I picked out first when I saw him. I actually heard about him when I still lived in Chicago. My aunt would call me and say, "This dog reminds me of you. He has two cloudy eyes, just like I did." Well, I have only one now, but also she says, "I bring him hot dogs because he's afraid of the thunder, and he lives outside in that kennel all the time. He never goes in the house." And I thought, gee, I would like to have that dog when I get home and I can buy my own house. And so I did, and I got him, and he's a lot like me. He's kind of lazy, and he's a food-motivated guy. He just wants to chill and eat and be petted and kind of be left to his own devices. And then Mischief came in because I thought I mistook his laid-back nature for I'm bored and I need a playmate. So I got another husky who is 7 months old, and he is exactly what his name implies. Gandalf didn't need a playmate, and he at first resented me for getting Mischief. He thought, he wanted to be the favorite, the house favorite.
Ah.
And he didn't need to run nearly as much as Mischief, who now he has to be walked 2 or 3 miles a day. And like Gandalf, his motivation is games and tricks, and he wants to show off how intelligent he is. Because he will sometimes take a treat from me, then just drop it on the floor and look at me like, okay, what trick can I do next? What do you want me to show off now?
Ah.
So they're two very different boys.
Now, was there any control over who's the alpha in the house when he came in?
Well, yeah, a little bit. They would have arguments over food that I didn't expect, and I had to break those up, and I didn't know how to do that at first. So we had a lot of challenges, because you can go ahead and laugh, but I didn't research huskies before I picked them out. I didn't know any better. I just knew they lived next door to my dad. They were cute and fluffy, and I thought one or two of them would be fun to keep around. So I had all kinds of things to learn.
Yeah, and now you can share that with others, too, so that they'll know in the future. And I think we laugh because when you get huskies, I mean, they are a unique breed, and a lot of us do go on and, you know, we do try to help educate others in getting them, because as Cameo can attest, they aren't necessarily the quiet, laid-back, cute and fluffy dog just to pet. I mean, they do need a lot of exercise. They can get mischief. They are Houdini dogs. My Gibson can open up any door, any gate. He lets himself out when he feels like it. So, you know, you always have to try to, they're very intelligent breeds, so you always have to be several steps ahead of them and think, okay, can he open this latch? I mean, we're like Fort Five Saiba over here between our fences and, you know, what we put down under the ground so they can't get under, they can't get over. Unfortunately, that's part of how this possum attack happened, because Bandit is our very fast dog, and she goes airborne. When the five of them were running pre-injury, she would actually get up and kind of surf on the back of the other huskies as she was in mid-run. And she's also a very high jumper, and she snagged the possum off the top of a 6-foot fence in midair. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they can be very challenging, even when you think you have Fort Five Sibes. So it is interesting to hear that from a new parent. Learning the experience like that. Now, have you drawn them yet?
Yes, they're Gandalf serves as a mascot for our Husky Rescue Forum in England, and Mischief shows up in that picture of my nephew who's holding onto the airplane glider that's on my Facebook page. He's
yes.
The dog next to him, and that's not the only time I painted them. I've cartooned them both too.
Ah, okay. I figured they had to be models. I mean, you have them right there, and they're gorgeous. Now, you just recently also posted pictures of them in costume for an art show.
Yeah, I realized that I didn't have any pictures of my pets on my artist page, so I thought I better put some up there so people can see my sides. And the costume ones are some of my favorites, even though they're small pictures that aren't really good resolution. I thought the costumes were fun. We took them to a local show called Artalicious in Adrian, and they went dressed up in those costumes, and everybody absolutely adored that, and they got all the love and attention they could have wanted.
Now, is Gandalf in a saddle? Is that a saddle costume?
Yeah, I made him one. You can't actually ride him.
No, it's adorable.
It
really
cool.
Is. It really does. And I'm a former equestrian who rode Western, so I just thought that was really clever. And Mischief is in what type of costume? Is that a miniskirt?
It's okay. No, not really. Mischief would be so mad at me for letting me. I'd say the pictures aren't all that good.
Don't let Mischief know. I didn't say that.
Have you seen that? Well, I don't know which movie to pick out. He's like a dark mage, so there's a belt on him of these metal things that are supposed to look like one you might slide a sword in.
Oh,
and he's
okay.
Got a hoodie that's pulled, it's not pulled up over his ears, but he also has a mask, a leather mask, like the bad guy off Zorro bad guy off of Nottingham, Sheriff of Nottingham, you know, that kind of, he's the naughty one and Mischief, or Gandalf is the good one.
That I see, so that's why he's smiling, the bad boy costume.
Yep.
Now, what is it that, Well, there's so many things I want to ask you. So I'm actually going to go and jump to just, you've donated many of your work as commissions to help out Huskies in Need, which I just think is terrific. I know you are, most recently, you did a beautiful one for Northern Lights Sled Dog Rescue that they're actually debuting in their auction that they're starting today, and it's called Born to Run. And can you tell us a little bit about that piece and who were the Huskies in it and what was your inspiration behind it?
Well, a lot of the credit for that one goes to Brad Johnson because it was his idea to paint the picture in the first place. He asked me if I would do one for the Northern Sled Dog Rescue, and I thought, why not? They've been helping so many Huskies for so long, and he had an idea for one with four dogs pulling a sled, and the sled's just out of view, so I didn't have to struggle with painting that, and I could focus just on the Huskies. And we thought that we would have try to include four different unique colorations, too, so that you could feel attached to it and feel like your dog was a part of the painting, no matter which color of side you happen to own. Like there's a red one, a gray one, and a cream-colored one. I know there's a term for that I don't know, and a black and white. And the cream-colored one is modeled after Brad's personal husky, Aurora, who recently passed away from cancer. And the other two are in the back aren't based off of anybody's husky. I just looked up different dogs and chose which ones looked appealing. And the black and white one is also a husky that passed away. And he's the one up front.
They're beautiful portraits. And, again, I think you can go to the Northern Lights Sled Dog Rescue site and also yours as well where you have where this is listed. And I know that they're going to be starting today. I think the link, I just pulled up their Facebook page and it says that their auction is now open. So you can go in there and click on that and see the gorgeous piece. It's right up front. And again, you have those dogs in the snow and you have the beautiful Northern Lights set behind them as well. And that's absolutely beautiful. Now that's one of three, is that correct?
Yep, and he's got the other two, and I'm not sure what their plans are yet for them, but I'm pretty sure
these are
only
limited editions.
Yep.
So, so if you can get over there and bid on it, it's a gorgeous piece, and it's a 16 by 20. Is that right, Cameo?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it'll look gorgeous on anybody's wall, so it's an awesome piece. Now, how long does it take to, I mean, that is such an intricate piece between the snow and the shadows of the dog and the Northern Lights. How long does it take to create a piece like that?
That one took the full 20 hours to paint.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do a lot of research on Huskies, and then I looked at so many pictures of snow and mountains to try and paint some that weren't going to take me all year, but that would be realistic and pretty and eye-catching. And
it's beautiful.
Yeah, lots of pictures I had to look at. Thank you very much.
I'm starting to get more ideas here, for future artwork. Robert, I don't know if you've seen this photo, but I can picture a beautiful portrait of Team Ineke in the snow up there in Alaska. I don't know if you've seen this portrait. It's over on the Northern Lights Sled Dog Rescue, if you can pull it up. But I can see Team Ineke here.
I'm looking at it right now. Man, what a good shot that would be for our upcoming Iditarod run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Absolutely. I know it's got to be rewarding to know your art is helping these Huskies in need. So I have to ask you on a personal level, when you finish one of these that go for something like this, how does that feel as an artist and even just as a Husky parent and a person in general?
Well, does it feel good? You bet it does. I think it's great because as an artist, I could never afford to hand Allie's a check for $2,500, but I spent a couple hours of my time, and that piece was sold over and over again, and they were able to raise that much money to help heroes care, and I hope that all of the other rescues I support are just as I like the idea that I can save animals' lives with these paintings and do something that's fun at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful, and you've helped so many, and that's on the behalf of Huskies everywhere, thank you, and, your work is just amazing. What do you hope you capture in all your portraits when you're done creating them for the people who ask for them? What is it that you hope you've captured?
Well, I hope that what they see is their dog, not just any black and white husky with the same markings, but that dog that they raised up and that they love and that doesn't eat peanut butter but loves the cream cheese and likes to curl up by the fire, not just any husky, but their personal pet. That's what I want to show in my work. Each one is an individual.
And as a person who has one of your custom portraits, I have to tell you, I would have thought when I got it, when I opened it up, that you actually met each one of my sibes and spent time with them. My daughter and I were both blown away. We were like, whoa, there's Harley Spark, and whoa, there's Gibson. Gibson has this deepness to him. He is a very deep husky, and it's just like, wow, and the mischief was definitely there, and Bandit's Eye, and you know, the Chloe and Wolfie, you totally, you know, you caught their gentleness, and it really, truly is amazing. So, you know, as someone who has one hanging on their wall, I have to say, you totally accomplished that.
Cool.
Now, is there a husky theme portrait that you have yet to paint that you would love to?
Well, if someone would let me do a basket full of puppies, that would make my day. Something really cute and fluffy, just for the sake of being cute and fluffy.
That's awesome. That would be really great. So anyone out there with any puppies, you know, any rescues that have puppies? I know Allie just had a whole bunch of, she calls them Shepskis, but that would be great to see. I mean, that's something I think all of us love to look at puppies, so that's something quite universal, you know, that we could all hang on our wall. What message would you like to put out there about the work that you do?
Well, I'm hoping that when people look at my paintings, just like the pet parents who get them, they see an individual and realize that animals aren't just property, but they're a soul just like me and just like you. And that inspires them to take care of the dogs and other creatures in the world the way that they should be taken care of, and not think of them as just something you can get for your five-year-old on Easter because the cat is cute, you know, but that they're going to be a part of your family.
Excellent message. Excellent message. I mean, that goes across all the breeds and all the type of animals. Robert, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Cameo before we wrap up?
You know, I just have to say to both of you ladies, amazing work here with the drawings and the art that you're doing. Cameo, I'm calling you this afternoon for sure.
Well, thank you.
thank
you guys
very
both.
Cool. Very cool stuff.
I know Team Ineke is going to look gorgeous. It really
will.
Well,
I can't wait to meet them. That will be awesome.
Now, Cameo, can you tell our listeners who may be interested in commissioning a pet portrait, how can they do that?
It's pretty easy. The thing that's the most important is to have good pictures of your pet that clearly show markings and eye color. That's one of the hardest things. A lot of people will send me eyes that are in shadow or eyes that have big shines over them, so I can't really see. And they can tell me the eyes are blue, but there's different kinds of blue eyes. But even in huskies, some of them are brilliant blue and some of them are ice blue. And so it's really important to see the colors and to send me a little blurb. And it's as easy as sending an email, really, ordering a picture. And I take PayPal, and I'm willing to trade if you have some services that you do. I am very open to that.
That's wonderful. And rescues, if they're interested, they can go about contacting you the same way.
Yes. Try not to bomb me because I have a very hard time saying no, but yes, I try to help every rescue that asks me.
Wow, there's a lot of rescues out there, too.
Yep.
But that's wonderful that, you know, and I know, like, you know, I like to help in my little way with the books, you know, each book I put out, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, you create this wonderful art. You're helping huskies in need. You're really highlighting this fantastic breed, as well as all the other breeds. You know, I'm only focusing on the huskies. I hope our listeners know, because we're a husky site, but all the breeds are absolutely stunning, as well as the cats. What's up next for Cameo Anderson?
Well, I'm trying really hard to finish editing my book that was supposed to be a short story but ended up being a novel anyways, about a husky, a naughty little husky and his little girl who saved the world from an alien invasion. As soon as I get it edited, I'm going to publish that myself. I already designed the cover and live streamed it so everyone can see in video form my entire process of painting a husky portrait with a little girl in it. And that's what's next.
Where can they see this? Because that would be great to see, and I can't wait till it's out. I mean, I think that sounds really fun. So where can everybody go to take a peek at that?
Let's see. I have the link on my Facebook page. I'll repost the actual link to the video again so that you can all see it, and it'll be at the top of my page, because otherwise you'd have to scroll through all of my updates to find it. But the actual poster is on my page in the illustrations folder if you want to look at it. It's called A Star for Fluffington.
Okay, that sounds great. A Star for Fluffington. And I will also be updating my Five Sibes blog over at fivesibes.blogspot.com with an interview with Cameo and some photos. And we'll also put the links and the information over there as well. I have a few shows I need to catch up on, due to a couple things going on. I'm a little backlogged on updating the blog with the radio show items, but I will be doing that, and Cameo's information will be up there as well as over on the Dog Works Radio. If you click onto that and then just go to the drop-down menu, look for the Sibe Vibe. We'll have links there as well. Cameo, thank you so much for joining us today. I really think it's been a lot of fun. And, people can check out your Facebook page. Again, it's facebook.com/SporePalace. And they can also do a search for Cameo Anderson Writer Illustrator, and your website's over at www.getbettergraphics.com. And we've been thrilled to have you here today.
Hey, I think it's been awesome. I wanted to do a lot of things, and at one point in my life I wanted to be a radio personality, but this is just as cool being a guest on a radio show.
That's great to hear, right,
too.
Robert?
yes, thank you very much, Cameo. A pleasure for sure.
You guys are awesome. Thank you, too.
Thank you. And we'll be chatting online.
All right. I'll see you there.
And, Robert, I just want to mention, too, that, next month is November, which, of course, is National Epilepsy Awareness Month. So I'll be heading up another Live Gibstrong Canine Epilepsy Awareness Campaign. And I just want to mention that our guest for November is going to be Rick Selwood of the Wally Foundation for Canine Epilepsy. And what they do is they can help parents, rescues, and fosters of dogs that have canine idiopathic epilepsy. If they contact him, they can possibly get assistance with medications for their dogs. So we're going to be talking to him at length next month, and talking about how we can help and all these dogs with canine epilepsy. If you are a parent to one, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not, but we really want to get it out there that these dogs are wonderful, and they deserve to live a full, happy life for however long that may be. But please don't let seizures or canine epilepsy stop anyone from actually adopting or taking a animal into their home, because there's definitely lots of support, lots of resources that we have out there, and, we'll be going over all that next month.
Looking forward to that for sure. Before we go, Dorothy, we have to talk a little bit about that tangle with the possum. My dogs have got in a lot of things, but I don't think they've ever got into a tangle with a possum. How did that happen?
Oh, the tango with the possum. Boy, that could be a future book. we have a possum, a baby possum in the yard. I think something must have happened to its mother, because it started hanging around and walking the fence line. And, a couple weeks ago, Bandit did snag it and pull it down. Of course, it played possum. We got the dogs in, and Gizmo, as my daughter has given it a little moniker, got away. So Gizmo started popping up out front, because we have the feral cat Binks that we've now adopted and vetted, but Binks is still skittish, and Binks stays out front, Huskies stay out back. They all have their own territory. So Binks started coming out front, or Gizmo, and, we have a heart trap, but unfortunately we caught our own cat in it. The cat's fine. He's fine, but it's been one of those days. Actually, it's been one of those weeks. So what happened Thursday? I believe it was Thursday. The possum must have decided to cut through the yard, and that's a big mistake. And Bandit snagged it, And we went out there, and of course, you know, Bandit's actually trying to talk to it. She's taking her paw and she's pushing at it. Now the possum's playing possum the best it can, but she's pushing at it and she's talking to it, and the other ones are coming around. And unfortunately, there was blood on the possum, so they definitely, whether when they caught it, whether they played too rough, as we all know, huskies have a high prey drive. This is natural to them. We did get all the huskies in the house. My husband went to go get the possum. We're thinking there's no more possum. He's gone. And the possum actually gets up, and my husband walked it out to the front to get it out to safety. Unfortunately, with the possums, and not to get too graphic, you know, they do give off certain kinds of, you know, things to protect themselves, and the dogs just licked it from head to toe, and they played with it, and thankfully Gibson's so big, he was late to the party, the possum party, so he did not get in touch with it. But the others did, and, you know, normally we don't think anything of it, but then about 12 hours later, Wolf started not feeling good. He was moody, he didn't eat. It's not unusual for the huskies to go on a food strike and maybe skip one meal. He didn't want dinner, he didn't want treats, and, you know, the husky's life is treats. They love their food-oriented. But then by that night, he started, you know, coughing up saliva. There was a couple specks of blood in it. And then that evening, he just started getting sick. And, you know, again, I do this for just to share for educational purposes, hopefully not to offend anybody, but there was a lot of blood when he went to the bathroom. And, you know, it wasn't just specks. So I was very concerned. Of course, everything happens late at night. So we do have a good friend who's a vet tech that we spoke to until I could get the dog over to the vet's office. Actually went over and talked to the vet in the morning, took samples over, because actually Wolf wound up settling down after several hours. Having to go outside to go stopped. But he still wasn't himself. He was punky. So we did drop off samples. I talked to the vet. I'm armed with some medication in case, you know, the runs start again. Today he woke up vomiting. Not a lot, very little. I think it's a sour stomach because he hadn't been eating, and then we started him on a bland diet. And now Harley, before we started the phone call, now Harley has it. So right now I have Harley. Harley and Wolf are in the kitchen, Gibson and Chloe. Chloe didn't have any part of it because she's our little princess, and she decided to watch TV and go to sleep on the couch that night. Thank God. So it was four instead of five. So Gibson and Chloe are together on one side of the deck. Bandit, who is the big mischief maker, she's actually, knock on wood, feeling okay, but she's got the whole deck and yard to herself right now because the other two are in the kitchen, and, you know, I kind of have them all under watch. The suspicion right now is that it was some type of bacteria, or possibly a parasite. So we did bring in a sample. We're going to get some answers hopefully Monday. It does look like it's running through them. And hopefully, you know, they'll just keep getting better. You know, but that's our possum story. You know, it's one, you know, you don't really think about them getting sick if they, you know, capture that. But, you know, possums, they eat everything. And, you know, you just don't know what they've eaten. The other scary part is because when I went to the vet, they were very well aware that there was a possum in the neighborhood. So then, you know, your mind quick jumps to, oh, my God, did somebody try to poison the possum? And then your dogs are eating this. So it's really, it's a big scare because it's an unknown. You don't know what it is. But again, you know, it's important and imperative to, you know, get right in contact with the vet when something like this happens. And, you know, I'm sharing it. And while I might start to see the humor sooner or later, right now it's a little fresh because, you know, with the two of them going through the various stages of being sick, they are eating bland, so that's positive right there. And they are drinking, so that's positive. So that's where we are with the lovely little possum story.
Well, you know, I thank you for sharing that, Dorothy. Like you said, you never know when they're going to get into a fit with another animal out there. And I think it's important to notice that when dogs do that, that there can be consequences. It just might not be, you know, playing with the possum or killing a bird or whatever. There can be repercussions from that in terms of health. So I thank you for sharing that. I think that's good information for all of our listeners.
Yeah, and I'll definitely keep everybody posted on how the side kids are doing, you know, via Facebook and Twitter. You know, so hopefully they'll all, right now they're all resting, that's also a good sign. So I think we're going to just have to kind of ride this out, and we'll find out if there is any parasites, you know, then on Monday, you know, naturally we'll take care of that. And what we do with our bunch is you treat one, you treat them all. Of course, with Gibson, I have to be careful. We sometimes use different measures with him because of him having epilepsy. The medication that I have is for the four, not for Gibson. He, I do, you know, holistically and through diet, unless it's something extenuating. And then we reassess at that time. So, you know, if the dogs do have epilepsy, you know, that's something people need to discuss with their vet as well, or any ailment, to be sure that the medication that they might get is okay for their dog to take. So it's just, the message really is, you know, keep an eye on the dog, be in constant contact with your vet, and just be vigilant.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Dorothy, and we want to send out thanks for our guest this afternoon, or this morning in my case, Cameo Anderson, artist and illustrator. Check out her Facebook page. Very cool. Dorothy, we are sitting here in the dark. We've lost electricity, so we do not have any out music today, so we're just going to end it here. Thanks a lot.
Okay, as long as you're not asking me to sing, then we're okay.
We're good.
And
we're good.
Maybe instead of our song, you could just take us out and one more time let folks know how they can win an autographed copy of your brand new Team Aneke, A Musher's Dream illustrated children's book.
Yes, head on over to Dorothy's Five Sides News and Reviews page. Tell us a little bit about your husky, and we will pick a winner for our upcoming book. It should be out this week. Looking forward to having it in our hot little hands sometime this week. Dorothy, hint, hint. Looking forward to going to the post office.
They're going out tomorrow, so they'll be in Alaska as soon as they can.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll look forward to talking again soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye, Cameo. Bye,
All
Robert.
Right.
Goodbye, both of you. All right. Done.